Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 5 finale podcast for Rob Has a Podcast. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and we have crowned our new champion. I won! I did it! I won again! Team undefeated,
it's you.
You can't stop me. I have never been defeated, and I never will be defeated. It'll never happen. I won the draft. I picked Kevin. Kevin wins Big Brother Canada 5. What are you going to do? You can't stop me. You can't.
I'll tell you what I'll do, dude. I'll one-up you by reminding you who picked Kevin as the greatest player of all time.
Oh, we'll get to that, Alex. We'll get to that.
I mean, you win the battle, but I win the war, sir.
Let's introduce you, Alex. We're joined by a man who, you know, he called a shot, as he mentioned. He said, Kevin, best Big Brother Canada player of all time. And then I gave him a pick ahead of me, and he chose Bruno instead of Kevin. He gave me Kevin. He let me win. And he knew all along that Kevin was the best Big Brother Canada player of all time, but he still didn't pick him. What's with that, Alex?
Because I can still gloat in this situation, can I? Like, you win the draft, but I can still gloat. Absolutely, yeah. If Bruno had won the draft, I would gloat. And now that Kevin has won, I can talk about how nobody else had the stones to pick anyone not named Netta for the greatest Big Brother Canada player of all time. Except for me. I went out on the limb, and it proved sturdy indeed, Taryn. The limb is strong.
All right. I think it's more embarrassing, to be honest, but we'll let you do that. Don't be offended by my jovial nature. I know that I am also joined by a man in grief, and I know that he is, you know, many people are in grief at what happened in this finale. Brent, how are you doing? How are you coping?
Well, I didn't think this night could get any worse when Kevin won and Dimitri's lost, but then Taryn had to bring up the effing draft. Like, seriously, I'd forgotten about that bitch until you reminded me about that. And by the way, I think that, like, what Alex had tonight was a little bit of, like, 3 degrees of separation, because he said that Kevin was like the greatest Big Brother player ever, but the person that like said that also tonight was Bruno, which was the person that Alex picked in his draft. So there's like some weird synergy going on tonight that I can't even explain.
You definitely watched that podcast before you went back in the house.
Yeah, when Bruno walked up there and said that, I almost fell off my chair. Like, really, bitch? Really? Okay. Yeah.
There you go. And then also, finally, we are joined by the woman who nearly took my crown. You came closer than anyone else really has. Melissa Denny, how you doing?
I was so close, so close. If Dimitris had just won that final HOH, I would have been the winner. It would have been my first draft, first win. I would have been solid. Very disappointing that I didn't win.
All right. Well, enough about the draft. We are here to talk about this finale podcast. We have a chat room up on robhasawebsite.com. You can chat there. You can, you know, tell us that we're so wrong about Karen, that Karen is definitely going to win the game. And you can send in questions to me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Let's get started. Right off the bat, we got to talk about Kevin, right? Kevin has won Big Brother Canada unanimously, the first unanimous vote since Dan Gieseling, the second only in the history of Big Brother, for this style of Big Brother. What did you think of that, Melissa?
Sorry, what was the question? I just had to turn off my fan. I forgot.
It's okay. What did you think of the unanimous vote? First unanimous vote since Dan Gieseling, second only in existence. Like, this is crazy, right?
I was actually pretty surprised. Especially because Dylan was sitting there saying he was never going to vote for Kevin. And there were some other people who I kind of didn't think were going to vote for Kevin. Just, you know, I was very surprised. I really thought that there was going to be just like, it was going to be more even. Maybe Kevin would win out, but more even. I didn't think that it was just going to be a total blowout, which is kind of crazy.
Right.
I mean, I kind of figured it was going to be 8-1. Like, I definitely thought that last jury video was a bit of like a tease where they're like, oh, everyone thinks Karen's a lock to lose. We better like make them say nice things about Karen, or like, maybe there's some things about Karen. Because I feel like the other videos weren't like that, but then the last one kind of was. And that made me raise an eyebrow a little bit. But I think more than anything, just the fact that, ultimately, like, wait, I forget where I was going. I'm too excited.
Yeah, this is, you know, there's a lot going on. The finale just happened.
Oh, I know
emotions
what it was.
Are running high.
Yeah, you were about to say that you found it interesting the questioning resembled like verbal hand jobs, which is interesting because that's what Kevin was doing earlier in the season. Like, that's what this whole question
was.
Pretty
sure that's where I was going.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. Because, you know, the fact that it was, I mean, 9-0, whatever. It doesn't matter if he wins 5-4, 9-0. I could really care less. Like, this whole thing was just a sham at the end. Like, I mean, I was just like, whatever. Like, I mean, Bruno sat there and asked him a question about, you know, what was your biggest move, man? And literally, like, he's like, I love you, man. You did such a great job. Oh, but I'm totally being neutral and asking this question. Like, let me see, what was your biggest move? And then Kevin brings up his one worst move ever at the final five, and Bruno still votes for him. So yeah, tell me that the questions mean something here, people. Whatever. Girl,
no, I thought that the questions were kind of ridiculous. It was like everybody wanted to ask like a self-serving question. It was like, so, you know, why weren't you loyal to me? Or like, were you loyal to me? Do you think that I got you there? It's like, why? They're not real questions. They just want to hear them, you know, give them compliments and say like, you know, you were a great player. Like, I had to get you out. Or even just like, of course I was loyal to you. It's like, who cares if they were loyal to you? You're out. Like, the whole point is, what did they do in the game? I was just, even Netta, like, I would have thought that she would have asked a question that was like really, you know, pointed and like trying to get to the bottom of things. And instead it was just like,
why is she going
to loyal
get,
to me?
Why is she going to get to the bottom of things when we know how she's going to vote? I mean, it was all over their face.
I don't know. I feel
vote.
Like, I mean, I knew that she already had her vote locked in, but I just felt that she was going to try and get more of like a strategy answer, or try and be more analytical. You know, she's got the like whole game bot persona. You'd think that she'd say something game body and not talk about like, oh, are you loyal to me?
Yeah, I think her
like,
game bot
know.
Persona went out the window when she went up there and made that terrible joke about cat food. Like, what was that? That was,
yeah, was I missing? Was that an act? Was that a, like an inside joke that I didn't understand?
I think,
or like,
she's
that,
talking about like the cat
she's
ladies
probably gonna
or something.
Make Kevin, like, we probably think it's a joke, but Kevin will probably end up buying like a few months worth of cat food.
So why
that
is that
of
part of something? Am I like missing
she's
something?
A better social player than he is, and he'll pay.
I don't. That doesn't explain it. Like, that's still, I still don't know what we're talking about. I feel like I
Netta
like,
has cats, and cat food costs money, and Kevin
confused.
Now has money, and
so
she
confused.
Played
right.
a role in him having money.
You and me both, Melissa.
You know, I think. You know, I thought it was going to be 8-1. I really did. I think, you know, I get. That it's like, it definitely is self-serving. It's like the classic. I mean, we see this in Survivor a lot where people are like, is there anyone that's not in that final three that you think maybe deserves to be there? Like, and they're like, mm-hmm. definitely looking yeah. for the answer to be me, you know, like more me in this finale. That's where I'm already evicted. Yeah, right. But I think, you know, that didn't bother me as much as I was really surprised. Like, not only did Karen not get Dylan's vote, but Dylan was like making faces and stuff and like, you know, like scoffing and stuff while Karen was answering his question. And I was just like shocked by that. Cause like, I mean, I think like even if they weren't friends, which like they are friends, so it's very surprising to me, but like, that's kind of disrespectful to the process. Like, even yeah. if you think that person is completely like illogical in what they're saying. And like, I've certainly been like, you know, one of the first to, you know, sit here and, you know, ring the gong of, what Karen's saying isn't actually the reality of kind of the situation. But I still think like in that moment when it's down to the final two, like you got to like give her the respect of like at least like listening to her question and nodding and not like looking over and like treating it like some kind of, I don't know. Like I didn't like the way Dylan handled that at all.
Well, to be fair, Dylan is very easily influenced. So it's possible that once he got to the jury, they were like, can you believe what Karen did to you? Blah, blah, blah. And convinced him that she's this like horrible person and that Kevin was really hit on his side or something. You know, it's totally possible.
Right. And I mean, like we talked about it a little bit last night where like what Karen did by somehow managing to keep Dylan's jury vote was seemingly impossible because it like she was totally screwing him over. And it was obvious to anybody except for Dylan. So I imagine as soon as he got to the jury house, they were like, dude, she screwed you. You realize that, right? And yeah. he was probably not very happy about that. But it is interesting because he was talking about how she was his girl, even in the jury roundtable, which was at least, you know, what, like 4 days later? So who knows? Maybe in the jury roundtable, maybe Netta or not Netta, maybe Aika said something that turned him against Karen.
No, I don't think
so, man.
You guys
respect the process.
You guys are
respect
overthinking this.
Like, finale night.
I mean, come on, you got, yeah, you guys are overthinking this. Like, I mean, he realizes at that point it's going to be 7-1, 8-1. Like, he realizes he's probably going to be the one. And he, who wants to be voting with the loser? Like, you want to be with the winner. You want to be partying with the winner. He doesn't want to be out on his own island having voted for Karen in front of everybody if no one else would support her. I mean, basically, people were totally laughing at her. And I get why they were, some of them were laughing at her, although I did think it was disrespectful because some of the things that she was saying I didn't think were totally accurate as far as the game that we saw. Again, as I said last night, I think there was a case to be made for Karen here. I don't know that she could have made it in the time that she had, but given the time that they gave her, which is the 1 minute beforehand, plus the final speech after the questions, plus she basically didn't even use her questions to address anything that really wasn't asked. Like, I wanted her to take the question and go on a tangent with it. Instead, she basically gave, like, I think at one point she gave like a 4-word answer to Cindy's question, and at that point, the game is stacked against you. You know, there's nothing you can do to change the outcome.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, we talked about it last night, but I really just think that you gave Karen a lot more credit than she should have. You know, like,
again,
this
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Can I just be clear for people hating me on Twitter? Again, as I pointed out on Twitter, when someone bitched at me because they were saying that I wasn't giving fair and balanced coverage to Kevin. First of all, that's my responsibility to do that because I feel like other people were doing that for him. I didn't really hear anybody talking about Karen for the most part. I didn't hear anybody making a viable case for Karen. She ended up getting to the final two. I felt like it was important for us as somebody who covers reality TV to make a case for Karen in her best possible light. It's too bad that she herself didn't make that case, but that's what I wanted to do. Case closed. Sorry. I interrupted.
All set.
Okay.
You're here.
Okay. So I mean, we should address what Bruno said, right? Because Bruno goes up and he votes and he says, I'm voting for the best Big Brother Canada player of all time.
And Ica's like, I'm already out, bitch.
Right.
So you know, now that Kevin has done this, he has pulled off this unbelievable winning streak. He has won unanimously. This is only the second time in the history of Big Brother has this happened. Should we be looking at Kevin's game in a more positive light now that this has happened? Like, I mean, he dominated those questions. He prepared in such an unbelievable way that he was unstoppable from final eight to final two to unanimously winning. He was never even eligible for nomination and didn't get a single vote cast against him. This is impressive, isn't it, Alex?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, he's got, you know, and that's why I ranked him first when I did. That's why I took the chance. I mean, everyone was going Netta. I probably would have gone Netta until I saw everyone going Netta. I'm like, oh, what the hell? I think Kevin, like, I've seen potential from Kevin to be a great player. So I'll take that chance. And I mean, I stand by the things I began, you know, I was seeing at the time. Like, certainly he did not play a very strong game this time. He didn't play a strong winning game by any stretch of the imagination. He really had to Mike Holloway this thing. But I mean, the fact remains that he does bring, you know, certain skills to the table that are translatable in any Big Brother season. I mean, obviously, like, some of these competitions, especially in Big Brother Canada, especially down the stretch, more and more seem like they can be truly prepared for. And just beyond that, I mean, he's just an inoffensive, humble, self-aware,
boring,
for the most part, guy.
Oh, hi.
Humble. Yeah, well, that's fine. But boring. Yeah, I mean, a little bit, right? He subscribes to like the Milford School from Arrested Development. If you like blend in with the background for a little while, like
wallpaper,
that should get you to jury.
Oh, hi.
Yeah,
okay,
wallpaper
sorry.
Gets to jury. That's fine, dude. I think that's a –
well,
like,
I
if
think
you
it's
can
a,
find
look.
Someone – that, you know, and maybe they're not great television. And I think Kevin tries, despite the lack of, like, natural charisma. I think he really tries to be good TV. But, yeah, I mean, I think that ultimately it's something that you just can't necessarily control all the way.
Yeah, and I'm totally, like, Brent calls Kevin boring all the time, but I don't see that at all. Like, Kevin was one of the stars of Big Brother Canada 3, even though he got evicted halfway through the game. That's the reason he came back. It's the reason production loves him so much. You know, as supported as Brent is, I think, there are a lot of people that are very anti-Kevin. There are also a lot of people that love Kevin. It's a very divided fan base, so I don't think we can just blanket say that Kevin is boring, end of story.
Yeah, I can't even believe
you're
using production.
I also don't think he's... I also don't think he's boring because he makes these like outrageous choices sometimes where you're like, what are you thinking? And you're just like when he was going to use the veto and then they were going to put Bruno on the block. And we were like, Kevin, how are you believing this? But it made for exciting television. I mean, until he decided not to do it. But then, I mean, and then when he did use the veto and put and took Ika down, I mean, that was another exciting thing. Like, these are all blunders, but they're very exciting. And he's not a boring player. He's not afraid to make like moves that he thinks are good. Maybe they're not. Most of the time they're not. But, you know, he's not afraid to take these chances. He's not afraid to get out there and try something new. A boring player, I think, in my opinion, would just sit back and be like, what's the safest move? What am I going to do to get further? And then just kind of blend in. And I don't think he did that.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it's telling that in the... Oh, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to tell you guys, like, my niece and nephew just got home, so I have about 5 minutes left of the real Brent, and then about probably 30 minutes left of soft-spoken Brent. So if you really want the tea, you're going to have to let me talk for the next fucking 5 minutes, okay? What? I can't even believe you guys are saying this about Kevin. Like, seriously, the question was, like, you know, do you agree with Bruno's assessment that he's the best Big Brother Canada player of all time? He basically, as Alex said, it was Mike Holloway. Does Rob consider Mike Holloway to be a great winner of Survivor? No. I mean, like, it's just, like, I can't even believe we're having this discussion. Socially and strategically, he was basically inept. Socially, people never trusted him besides the people that he brought in there as friends and knew him on the outside. Strategically, he didn't know where his ass was from his head for most of the time. So I can't even believe that's actually a discussion that we're having here. By the way, Tarrant, I can't even believe that you're using production as something to use to back up your argument. They also brought back Dallas. So are you really, you're really trying to have me buy the fact that they brought back Kevin as a reason to believe that he's not a boring player? That, you know, he's somebody who, you know, you yourself said uses his emotions and like pushes them all the way down. So he never really reacts to anything that's going on in the house. And that's not very fun for me to watch, especially when somebody's yelling at him and he's just giving them this like stone face of nothingness. That's what his game was at the end, because it was just Jedi drilling and competitions, and that's all it was. And I wasn't impressed. And while I'm at it, I'm gonna have to go in on Netta too. I want to talk about her in this finale, if you can let me get to that before these people over here go to sleep.
I mean, I'm not saying that if production thinks somebody's not boring, then they're not boring. But I mean, as soon as I said that in the chat, there were a bunch of people that are like, unbelievable, Taryn. I can't believe you would say that Kevin isn't boring. And there were a ton of people that were saying, Kevin is super entertaining. I think he's really fun. I'm saying is that we can't just say everybody thinks Kevin is boring. End of story. That's a given. You
he's
know what I mean?
He's fun in the diary room. That's the extent of it. He's fun in the diary room because he knows what to give production. He's not fun in the house whatsoever. To me, he's just like wallpaper. You know, you heard the jury. Like, I mean, they were praying. Some of them were praying that they could vote for somebody else. Unfortunately, the other option was Karen. But most of them were just sick of Kevin because they're like, you know, you started playing like halfway through the game. Nobody even knew you were there. Then you comped your way, Mike Holloway style, to the end. Is that something that we really, is that kind of a one-dimensional game, what we really want our season to be represented by? Unfortunately, they really had no other choice with Karen up there with Kevin.
I think it's telling though that you weren't saying Kevin was a boring player throughout the season. You're now saying Kevin is a boring player because you're mad that he won, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, no, to be fair, like, no, I have had my issues with Kevin because it's like, you know, you want your, like, I like my reality TV people a little bit extra. I have never, ever hidden this, probably because I'm a little bit extra sometimes. So when somebody intentionally tries to take the drama out of the TV, take the drama out of the show, I don't find that to be all that entertaining. It may be good gameplay, but I've never really loved amazing gameplay. I like people that have really good gameplay married with a very good social game and a good game for TV. And Kevin just doesn't fill all the boxes for me. That's what I'm saying.
Well, let's also address this idea that Kevin didn't do anything for the first half of the game. Dimitri says he started playing the game on day 48. This is a criticism. I mean, again, people criticize Nicole for this. People are now criticizing Kevin for this. Was Kevin not playing in the early half of the game?
Because Nicole and Kevin both used the hand job strategy totally legit. Like, they got it locked down. I'm just saying.
Well, all right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Great synergy they have there. Yeah.
to me, I think that Kevin, you know, he was in the six. He was a target from day one and worked pretty hard with Bruno to avoid being put up on the block. He used his relationships to keep himself safe. He developed this relationship with William that ultimately saves him in the game. Can we really say that Kevin wasn't doing anything in the first half of the game? What do you think, Alex?
No, I mean, I think Kevin was doing exactly enough. I think he was in a great position. And when you're in a great position in the house, you don't want to disrupt the status quo. So I think from a game perspective, he was playing very well. And I think, you know, he was just like, man, like Cindy just blew a hole in the ship. You know what I mean? And then it was just taking on water the rest of the game and he just had to win out. But he did. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what he did. You know, he had to went out and he got there with someone he knew he could beat and everyone knew would be there at the end. They had been talking about it for weeks and would be beatable if she was there. And I mean, he really just set it up perfectly. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. He had to beat Dimitris in three straight things. Basically, you know, three straight competitions, even though the last head of household was kind of like 3-1. I mean, it really was impressive what he was able to do. He really had the whole house against him. Everyone was trying to take him out for a long time now, for weeks. And, you know, in addition to just like how hard that is to keep winning, I mean, I can't even imagine how hard that is mentally, where you're just isolated from anyone who cares about you and everyone you're around you is just trying to like see you gone. Like, it's just, it must be incredibly difficult emotionally and mentally. So, I mean, I'm pretty impressed, you know, that he was able to hang in there and not buckle under the pressure. I mean, we've seen people, you know, kind of collapse and make, you know, crazy decisions down the stretch. But, you know, even if he didn't necessarily have like the strategic chops that we would expect from him all the time, he certainly was able to get the job done.
Yeah. And I think it also should be pointed out that anybody else left in the game, Dimitris, Aika, they would have had to basically win out in order to win as well. All of the previous winners of Big Brother Canada, from Jillian to John to the Pax Bros to Sarah, they all won out in their own way. Nobody in the history of Big Brother Canada has won the game purely on Sarah social Hanlon, ability.
How did Sarah Hanlon win out, bitch?
She did. Well, she didn't win. She had twists.
No. As I recall, she lost part one of the HOH and she lost part two of the HOH.
That's why
and
I said
she got,
basically, because Dimitris also had
well, it
one
like
week
he didn't really
where
even
he,
give her credit for that. I mean, she got Godfrey to take her to the end, and if he takes Ashley,
we're not talking about
actually,
Sarah Hanlon.
I'm just saying.
I'm
you
saying
really
that basically,
glossed over
for
that.
The most part, every single winner of Big Brother Canada has had to win multiple competitions. Maybe they've had one week where they managed to get through on their social game or strategic game, but for the most part, they have been immune for many of the weeks leading up to the finale. And I think that is very telling, and I think that we can't say that, you know, Kevin is you know, a terrible player because of this when in Big Brother Canada this is a huge part, and especially given the fact that these competitions are very predictable and Kevin was able to game them. I think we have to say if this is a very important part in winning the game, then Kevin is very, very good at it, and that's something that we have to consider. What do you think, Melissa?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, it was very impressive the amount of time that Kevin spent studying. I mean, he could have, I just feel like everybody was against him. He had no friends and he could have, you know, cried. He could have done, you know, so many people react in a different way when their Aika was yelling at him. And instead he just went by himself into a room and just studied. And yeah, it didn't make for exciting feeds, but you know what? It worked. It was important. He needed to do that in order to win these competitions. And honestly, it wasn't even a question with these date competitions. All of them, it was like, yeah, Kevin's going to win. And he got most of the questions right. I mean, he, for the most part, he got all the questions right, except for, you know, flipping the dates in the stalactites, stalagmites, whatever competition. But, you know, he recognized the importance of knowing all the dates and knowing all the questions, and it was impressive.
If the show depended on what Kevin gave us on the feeds the last 3 weeks, the show would quickly be canceled. I mean, the fact that he didn't have any friends, that was kind of his own fault. I mean, I don't know why people keep going back to that. Well, you know, he didn't have any friends. All he had was time to study. Well, I mean, I think he wanted to have friends. He just was unable to make them. He was unable to make allies. He wanted to have allies. He couldn't make allies because he was that bad at the game. He had to comp his way to the end, and that's the only reason he won. That's all I'm trying to say.
But that also,
I don't think
been...
he could have made he couldn't it's not that he was bad at the game, which meant he couldn't make friends. I mean, when people are not willing to even accept you and they're just not willing to even open up to you at all. It's tough. Okay. You can't crack
Can
that.
Can we go back and to also, this thing like, because he said on. This tonight?
Well, I just what? Like you're saying that, you know, Kevin needed to comp his way out. But, like, you would have been happy with a Dimitri win. Dimitri also needed to comp his way out.
No,
to get
he
to the
didn't.
End.
You keep there overstating
multiple,
this.
There were
he
multiple
lost
times
at the final
throughout
five.
The season.
He
there
lost at the final
Brent,
five.
Brent.
You.
Brent,
you
there
are
were
so
multiple
you keep
times
overstating
throughout the
this.
Season where he would have gone home oh if he didn't God. Win a competition. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. In the same yeah. way that yeah. Kevin needed
but
competitions.
He, but he still
Dimitri's
had to face...
also need, there were plenty of weeks okay. where Kevin didn't need to win a competition and he survived. Just because Dimitri had one week where that wasn't the case doesn't mean that he didn't have situations where he
like,
did
I mean,
need to win.
That was an amazing, amazing moment. And you just like, well, that's the, besides
I'm not saying
that.
It I wasn't
mean,
great. It was.
Kevin
but
never
I'm
had
saying,
a moment of fire where he had to face his, where he had to face his demons without the safety of the Big Brother game. Okay, never
but
once
didn't
did
have
he
anyone
have that.
Crazy like Karen willing to save him against their own best interests.
Boy, I can't win with you guys. It's like, well, either you know, either he well, saved himself because
just,
of safety,
well,
or
like,
somebody
just,
like Karen saved him because she's crazy. I mean,
it wasn't
do you
good
even
for
want
Karen
me on this podcast? Like, seriously, like, I mean, it's just like, come on, like, there, one of them has to be true. Either their social game got Karen to save him at the final five, and you have to give them credit for getting her to save him there.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on this.
Okay,
friend.
Thank you. Yeah.
I agree. Like, Dimitri's social game got him through the final five, and I think that's a really great thing. But we can't then also ignore the fact that he did need wins to get to that point, and he would
I'm
have needed wins to
that.
Get to the end.
It's
so
just
I don't think we can only criticize
are...
Kevin for it and not Dimitri's as well.
I'm not criticizing Kevin for I am criticizing Kevin for it. I'm not criticizing Dimitri's for it because there were times down the stretch where Dimitri's did not have safety, and there were never times where Kevin did. That's all I'm saying. And when you said your initial, you know, posit to this theory, you said, well, you know, Dimitri had to comp his way all the way to the end. And that's, I'm sorry, but said, honey, that's not true. You did not say that. I know what you said.
I said basically needed to because there was 1 week in which he didn't have to.
You
that's
added
what,
the basically later. I'll go back.
No,
I'm going to go back and check the
you
tape.
Can, you
that's
can
okay.
go back because I did say it. All right. So enough of that. So something that I thought was really interesting was Kevin's final speech, especially in comparison to Karen's, because Karen was very, you know, she was very calm and collected and sort of was just like, you know, my relationship got me to this point and I'm very grateful to have been here. And then Kevin gave, I think, like the most passionate speech I've heard on Big Brother. Don't you like when I was watching this, I was like, how can a jury see him next to Karen and not feel the like an emotional tug to give it to him? I thought this was very impressive. What did you think, Melissa?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I was kind of disappointed with Karen's speech. I mean, I had kind of hoped for something more along the lines of what her jury speech had been, rather than all she said was essentially that she needed people to get her there, meaning she didn't get there herself. She needed people. I don't know. It was like, why are you? No, you need to take all the credit you can get. You need to explain why you got yourself there. She just was trying to make people feel good in the jury and be like, it's all you. It's all you guys. But that doesn't help her. So I was very disappointed in her speech. And I felt like Kevin's speech was very passionate. He showed how much it meant to him. And, you know, if I was sitting there in the jury, I'd probably be influenced by that. I probably would be like, you know what? It means more to him. It clearly means something to him. And, you know, you want to win someone, you want to give the win to somebody who cares, somebody who's super passionate about the game and somebody who, and I loved how he said, like, I want to represent this season. You know, it was great. I loved it.
It basically, I think, like, delved into this whole underdog, undercat, whatever you want to call it, mentality, where he was saying, you know, I had my back against the wall. I spent every morning, every day studying in that. I went into that backyard, and my life was on the line so many times. I just want this more than anything. It's essentially like the core existence of what it means to be an underdog and to have a passion and fight through it and survive. And I mean, again, like Kevin's game, not very impressive, especially from a strategic or social standpoint. But when you see the passion, you really, really pull for him. How are you feeling, Alex?
No, I mean, I'm in that camp. It's impossible for me not to. I mean, you know, I've talked about it before. This is the first guy who ever give me a shout out on live feeds. You know, I've been like the Frankie Muniz of this this panel. You know, like you guys have both gotten multiple shout outs on previous seasons before I ever was mentioned by anyone. So the fact that Kevin was in there and was talking about me a couple times, like, how can I not love this kid? You know, I've never met him, but I've talked to him, you know, online. Seems very, very nice. You know, he's a friend of Jordan's and Jordan's a friend of mine. And this is like the first season where we've kind of like really had to reconcile these things. So it's I mean, it's tough for me not to want to pull for Kevin. I'm certainly biased when it comes to Kevin. I mean, I make no kind of qualms about that. But yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it's, you know, it's kind of like someone I can live vicariously through a little bit, because to watch someone who's such a big fan of this game with his back against the wall just somehow pull it out when the odds seemed like they're against him for so long, like, it was a bit of a feel good moment for me personally. I will say I was on that side.
All right. So let's also talk about Aika and Dimitri's. They go out here back to back, and you know, Aika, I think, generally seen as the star of the season, probably the most strategic player of the season. And then Dimitri comes out here. They both end up voting for Kevin over Karen, even though Karen is the one that saved them against the, you know, her own best interests. You know, we need to look at how Kevin was able to handle Aika and Dimitri's. His jury management there, I think, was really, really good, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I mean, the fact that he told Dimitri's, vote for the guy who got you out because you were amazing, you know, that was great. I thought that was the exact perfect thing to say to Dimitri's in that moment. Because if you had tried any other strategy that was like, you know, I played a better game than you because you're sitting out there, it's like, that's not really what you want to do. You want to compliment them, but at the same time be like, look, I got you out. And he did. And so I think that was great. And I think that the way that even all three of them, the way that Dimitri's, Aika, and Kevin went out, where they were all like, you know what? I respect your game. I respect you. I respect your game. I thought that was great. I mean, it shows that that it's a game. They're not taking things personally. They're not, you know, still bitter about stuff. It showed that they just want to crown a winner that they think is deserving.
Well, yeah, great. I can't say that for all the jurors, though.
Well, okay, so let's talk about Netta, because this was interesting. I assume you're talking about Netta, because something that I think a lot of people noticed was that it didn't seem like Netta really ever smiled once throughout the entire
no
finale.
Not only did she not smile, bitch never clapped whenever Aika was in the spotlight, and not only that, but she also flipped off Dimitri's again, even though it's something that happened in the past. Bitch, what are you doing? Like, seriously, I think it's so funny, because Taryn was like, you know, Netta's going to give you the sweetest, nicest, non-bitter juror performance ever. You're going to, you know, she's going to like smother you in sugar and sweetness. And then she comes out here and does that. I mean,
I think Taryn's trying to think about what, you know, makes sense logically for her.
There's no logic here.
It's that Rob has a PR firm approach.
Disappointed. Like, what benefit does that do for her? I mean, either you turn into the skid and you go full on mean girl, or, you know, you be nice. And I felt like in the jury, she was trying the complete opposite approach and trying to be like so sweet, so like nice and like very just, this is a game. I'm not bitter. This is all for fun. And then all of a sudden she gets back out and she's back to like mean girl. It's like, what do you want? Like, you need to make a choice. And I just was so disappointed, because I really, come on. They're showing these clips to make you smile and laugh. And that's what Aika was doing. Even when like there were embarrassing moments where she was, well, not like embarrassing, but where there were moments where she like yelled at Kevin and was like, my game is a billion times better than your game. And then you saw her reaction. She's kind of like, ooh, yikes. I can't believe I said that. Like, ha ha ha. That's a great reaction. Cause you're like, oh, Aika, you know, you recognize that was kind of a harsh thing to say, but you're great. You're funny. And then Netta's just sitting there like flipping people off, and it's still as if she's in that moment. You'd think that she'd look at it and be like, oh boy, like, why did I do that? I was like, what are you doing? You're making this worse for yourself.
Well, I do think that there's a bit of a difference, especially when you're comparing Aika and Netta, because, and a lot of people are pointing this out in the chat, is that, like, these clips were very heavily favored toward Aika, and it really felt like Netta was being excluded from a lot of them, and even when she was in them, it seemed like it was kind of negative against Netta. And then also, obviously, the crowd is cheering Aika, who is just in that round table, you know, going after Netta. It seems as though, like, it's hard to really, you know, I don't agree with responding to that with you know, with how Netta did. But if we're saying that, you know, if Aika can go off on Netta, why can't Netta also go off on Aika? I'm not like fully on board with saying Netta is the ultimate villain here, because I think everyone was feeling very bitter. You know, Jackie's flipping off Aika. Aika's calling Netta names. Like, everybody's in the wrong here. It's just that I think,
but not in the reunion.
I think Aika had a much more positive reaction from the audience, so it's a lot easier for her to be.
Yeah,
gracious.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, see, okay,
but I also
go ahead.
I think that in order to get rid of that perception, you have to show that now that the game's over, I'm not that person. Oh, I can't believe I did that. You know, you have to show something different rather than just going right back into that mode. Like, obviously, she knows that people didn't like that. That wasn't positive for her. So, like, her best response is to you know, show that she's different than that, and that's not her, and you know, she's over that, that was part of the game, and instead she just went right back towards that, what people didn't like in the first place. And I mean obviously it's hard when you're in the moment, but I just was hoping for, you know, a different response from
Netta. Because that's who she is. She is a bitch. She is a mean girl. I'm sorry, she is. You know, you guys didn't see it at the end of Big Brother Canada 2. I love Netta as a strategist, but she's like this. When things don't go her way, this is how she gets. Big Brother Canada 2, at the end of the game for the last 7 weeks, everything went her way except for one time when Allison pulled out that secret veto and used it. And that's when you saw Netta's face just totally freaking crack. She was not happy. How did this happen? And that's when the mean girl came out. And it only rectified it when she was able to make a fake Final Four with Allison and John, and to make sure that they ended up getting their vote to kick Arlie out of the house. After that, you know, she was fun Netta again because everything was going her way. You know, everything changed tonight when I feel like Netta realized that she's not the star of the show anymore. I'm sorry, bitch. Aika is. Aika's the star of the show. And Netta could not applaud her one flipping time. One time could she just have applauded or smiled when Aika was out there. Could she have done that? No, she couldn't do that because she was too freaking bitter. I'm done.
Well, I will say, I don't think Aika applauded for Netta at any point either. But, I mean, I think, you know, maybe it's just that I'm in a good mood because I'm happy with the outcome of this season. And maybe it's just that I don't know. I'm feeling particularly like I'm not coming down on anyone too hard, I think. Like, as far as Netta goes, like, I feel bad for Netta. I really do. Like, here's someone who loved this game, probably more than I do. And I love this game, you know, like an unhealthy amount that I watch. Netta's a huge, huge fan. And like, this was a nightmare experience for her. This went every way she would have wished it couldn't have. Like, blindsided by an ally, you know, made to look a fool by a ridiculous move on a live double eviction. Like, and then, yeah, like you're talking about, Aika just totally upstaging her from her season. Like, that was the girl that, like, from their season, like, that was her girl, you know? Like, she wasn't Aika's girl. Aika was Netta's girl on BB, like, from BB Camp 2. You know what I mean? And now she's got to, like, you're right, she's got to share the spotlight as, like, the two great female strategists from BB Camp 2. And I'm sure that's a tough pill to swallow. That cannot be how she saw this going. And I feel for her. I mean, I'm sure that's very, very tough.
Yeah, especially because those two were matched up against each other. And, you know, you always think that you're on the side of the good guys. And so she probably thought, you know, when it was Aika versus Netta, it was like Netta's the good guy and Aika's the villain. So because that's the way, you know, she assumes it would be. And then she finds out it's not. And that's got to be, you know, horrible. And I think that, you know, I disagree that Netta's a mean girl. I don't think that she is. I think that, you know, this is tough for her. And I think that I don't know. I feel bad for her. I just, like Alex said, I feel for her. And I just though, wish that she had handled it in a different way so that maybe we could be like saying something else and saying, you know, look how, what a great sport Netta was, you know, what a great opportunity this was for her to get her image back. And she did. But instead, she kind of like reverted back. And I don't think that Aika is completely, you know, an angel here. She's fine. I think that, you know, she did her fair share of stuff, but I think that the fans just kind of turned on Netta, and I think it's sad.
Yeah.
And,
like,
well, I'm sorry. I just want to say really quickly that, you know, I just feel like that Netta doesn't know who she is yet. I mean, or the person that she was shown to be on Big Brother Canada 2 is not really the person that she is. I mean, I do really think inherently she's kind of a bitch. But you know what? I am too. That's okay. You know, I think I've been a bitch on this podcast at certain times, but I know that that's who I am. And I feel like the people that know me also know that that's who I am. So they know how to interact with me, and I know how to combat that label at various times by smiling and laughing and you know, getting along with people, because I know that I can be a little rough to take sometimes. I don't think Netta has certainly realized yet that people are onto her, that she's sort of like this most of the time, and that she's going to have to do a little bit of damage control down the stretch here, you know, after Big Brother has ended, if she wants to turn it around. I think for the most part, people's minds are set. And I also say that even though if she, you know, let's just say this, whether you agree with me or not, and by the way, you can tell the kids are asleep now because Quiet Brent is back. and this is really hard to rant when I'm really, really mad. But it does give me a lot of practice at trying to contain my anger. The fact that she may or may not be a bitch, that's like besides the point. I would totally root for her even if she was the bitch. It's just that she doesn't seem to be willing to own it. She kind of wants to have it both ways. And she's like crying and boohooing when she gets booed by the audience. Well, if you're going to act like that, you're going to get booed by the audience, you know? I mean, you know, are you with me, Taryn, or not?
I kind of disagree here. I think that before she went into the game, she talked about how she is, you know, she is going to go in being guns blazing and mean. And I don't think she has ever really claimed that that's not her. And I don't think she boohooed about the audience. I think that people boohooed for her, but I didn't hear her ever say that she was upset about the fact that the audience booed her.
She was crying out the way out the door.
She cried because she got evicted. She cried before the boos started.
No, I mean, before. When she, you know, got what I mean? Booed, like, she cried.
I don't think she cried because the booze. I think she cried because she got evicted.
Cried in the house too. I'm just saying.
Right. And Aika has cried. And like, everybody's cried. Like, we shouldn't be, like, you know.
But she did cry because of the booze that she heard she cried because of the audience boos at one point in the house. There was like some boo when she got out of the HOH competition and the audience like cheered for her getting out, and she was upset and she cried and said like she didn't know the audience didn't like her. There was one point, just like not trying to like.
No, thank you.
I'm just saying that she did at one point know that the audience didn't like her and cried while she was in the house.
No, I'm living for it because you are refuting his point and you're doing it very well. Thank you, Melissa. I'm glad you're here. Yes.
No, I mean,
hi, Taryn.
But I concede that point, but I do think that I think that Netta, I don't think that she claims to be something she's not. And I think that if we're saying that she is, I think we're putting words in her mouth. And I personally, like, I don't like the drama. I don't like the you know, ranting, the insulting people. I don't like any of that. I know Brent loves it. I'm not here for it at all. I don't like any of that stuff. But, you know, if you do like that stuff, why can't Netta also do that? You know what I mean? I don't think Netta's claiming to be anything she's not. I think that, you know, if Aika is going to be mean to people, then why can't Netta also be mean to people? Why can't we just like be okay with this? Why do we have to like be critical of how Netta handles this situation? It just feels weird,
Taryn,
to me.
There has to be a hero and a villain, and Aika does it with style and Netta does it with like the finesse of a, you know, sharp-tongued cat. I mean, like, she's just like that joke that she said, and like literally no one laughed in the audience. That she doesn't know how to do it. You know what I mean? She just doesn't know how to have any pizzazz and do it with style. Like Aika can completely bitch to your face, but she doesn't, and you're like Kevin. You're like, oh my god, I love you. That was so amazing.
Right.
You know, even Jackie was like, you know, she's amazing. You know, I hate her, but she's amazing. And Netta just is unable to do that. I don't need to pile on Netta, right, but this is my last chance.
And I agree
well,
agree
I
with
one
that
thing you
like I think that Sorry, I think that like it's sort of like the difference between Kevin and Bruno, where like Bruno is probably the better strategist, but Kevin is able to articulate things in a way where he comes off as the better strategist. And but I don't think that that means that because Aika is better at being stylish in the way that she does this sort of thing, that we need to say that Netta is like a bad person or that she deserves like the hate or anything like that. I think we're being too hard on Netta. Sorry, Alex, go ahead.
I can't remember.
Yeah, Alex has been trying to get in for the past 4 minutes.
I've been trying to get a thought in for like 5 minutes
I stopped talking like 3 different times just because I see that you were like, you have your mouth open, and I know that that means you're getting ready to talk.
I don't think that Netta deserves any of the hate that she got at all. I don't think that it's, I think it's totally uncalled for. And I also think it's very hypocritical to have people, you know, loving what Aika's doing and hating what Netta's doing, even though they're very, very similar in terms of like the way that they were potentially treating other people and acting in the house. And I think that, you know, it was sad. I think that it was sad the way Aika got away with a lot of stuff that Netta could never have gotten away with. And I feel bad for Netta because I don't think, I just don't think it's fair. I agree with Taryn. I don't think that the hate was warranted at all.
All right. Let's get into some questions here. I got one from Jimmy on Twitter. I really like this question. And I'll give it to Alex. How would you rank each member of the Fortress, meaning Kevin, JP, and Karen?
Lord.
Kevin, JP, and Karen. That's
all right. All right. I think there's a case to be made that JP is still a better player, to be honest, but.
I know there is. I thought that's why I hesitated. It's not. He played a really great 3 weeks. Really great. I remember what I was going to say, though, okay. By the way. I think one point Brent made that was really particularly salient was this idea that, like, maybe Netta doesn't fully know who she is yet. I think one thing we never talk about that, like, never, I don't know if we've talked about all season, that's still 25, man. We think about it, she's a veteran of the game. She's this old, wily, you know, savvy veteran. Girl's still younger than I am by, like, a good mark. Like, she's, when I was 25, I didn't know where the hell I was going in my life. She's got, like, a clothing line, but, I mean, what she's doing right now, like, Aika might only be 7 years older, but in those 7 years, like, Aika has kids. Aika has, like, had a family. Like, Aika's done, like some grown-up woman shit, excuse my language. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just a different dynamic. Like, Aika has just been through a fire that Netta hasn't experienced in life yet. And I think as a result, like, she does. She knows who she is more than someone who hasn't been through what she's been through.
All right. So another question from Joe Heilshorn on Twitter. Not that it was ever possible, but based on the jury's reaction to Aika, do you think Kevin would have beaten Dimitri's as well? What do you think, Brent?
I have heard.
Yeah, right. Because there's also been this stuff where people are saying that the jury was saying they might not have even voted for Dimitri's over Karen. So we should talk about that
as
well.
Yeah, I actually had somebody who I respect pretty well actually DM me and tell me that they talked to someone who worked on the show and that the jury would not have voted for Dimitri's or Aika under any circumstances, that they would have voted for whoever else was sitting next to them. And I think that that's really effing sad if that's true. Based on what I saw tonight, it looked like there were a good many people who were like really, really, really happy to see Dimitri's out in third place. And obviously, I think that they had been spoiled a little bit because there wasn't any, like, usually there's a lot of tension there. You know, is it Kevin coming out or is it Dimitri's coming out? But like Netta and Bruno were like, they were already applauding before like anything had happened. So, you know, it was clear that they had been spoiled somewhat that it was going to be Dimitri's.
That was so annoying to me because I was looking for the reactions and there was just nothing. They had no reaction to it. I was so disappointed.
Like, they didn't want you to see that they didn't react.
Unfortunately.
I also thought it was interesting that Cindy was, like, in the jury roundtable when Aika was fighting for Dimitri's. And Cindy was like, okay, the more you do this, the less likely we are to vote for Dimitri's, which is exactly the opposite of what we had said last night. Because we were like, no, I don't think that the jury will be influenced by Aika. I think that no matter what Aika does, I think that they're going to, like, see it for the game. Well, of course, we were totally wrong, but... You know, and I also thought that it was totally uncalled for Aika to tell Netta, like, well, what are you, like, you didn't even see the game. You were out first or whatever. And I was like, oh, come on. Like,
I think that's a fair point. I mean, I'm not a loving a 9-person jury. I mean, Netta
but what
was
is she
out.
Supposed to do? Just not speak? Just be like, oh, well, no. I can't have an opinion because I got out. Like, you I know, think, it's it just no, is, come on.
I don't think.
Yeah, I mean,
think
I think
she
fair
can
or unfair. It doesn't help Dimitri's, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, well, fair. Of course it doesn't help. And I don't think it was a good look from Aika. On the other hand, she had the misfortune of having to confront all of her fellow jurors in front of television cameras with Tim there. She didn't just get to, you know, talk with them and work everything out back at the house like everybody else did. I don't think that it's something like Netta, you know, obviously she can speak if she wants to. She can say whatever. She's a big girl. She can say whatever she wants to. But she was claiming to know what happened in the house. And Aika rightly pointed out, like, girl, you were evicted in week 5. Like, are you going to listen to me? Or are you going to listen to the hearsay that you're hearing from other people? I mean, that's all I heard from that.
I just remembered there was I wish I remember who it was on Twitter, because I'd love to give them credit, but there was a GIF, right? There was a GIF floating around out there that was really funny, which was like, it was like Aika walking into the jury. And it was like, I think it was from like Lion King 2. It was like this like lioness just walking amongst all the hyenas, just like nipping at her heels. I thought it was really, really funny.
First of all, Alex, it's GIF. Come on.
No, it's GIF.
No, it's GIF.
Oh, my
it's
God.
GIF. Even Am the creator I, the of it says
I don't
it's
care
GIF,
about the creator.
So you know
You're
what?
The creator. It's GIF. I don't care. I'm not saying GIF. It's not happening. All right. Sorry.
It's GIF.
He gets so touchy.
Just got to think of peanut butter.
there was definitely a lot of now people are arguing in the chat. It's not graphic. Okay. There was definitely a lot of sentiment. Like, there was a lot of talk about Karen being, you know, well, maybe she has done something. There was a lot of people talking, you know, down Dimitri's game. It's not totally inconceivable to me that this jury might not have voted for Dimitri's, even against Karen. I would like to know from. I hope we get like a jury, you know, interview where they're asked this question.
Oh, do you think they're going to admit it now? They'll never admit it now. The only reason that they were talking up Karen there at the end, like Netta and Bruno saying stuff about Karen, was because they wanted to have an insurance policy in their back pocket if it was Dimitris and Karen in the final two. That was the only reason that they were saying that stuff, so then they could validate their vote and say, "See, I was thinking of all the things that she's done. I believed her when she was saying that she was playing this amazing game." I mean, they wanted to have their bitter vote locked down if they voted against Dimitri's. That's all that was.
What'd you guys think about Tim saying something about, like, you know, whoever the winner is should be someone who's like leaving as a better person?
I immediately thought,
because I was sitting home like,
thought back to last night when I was saying, I think Tim is going to like talk about their life story and like just like do some random Tim nonsense. And I was like, yes, this is exactly the random Tim nonsense.
Yeah, they're leaving as a better person, as somebody who quit in the final three when they had a chance to win the game. Is that what is that they should better themselves, Tim? Like, girl, bye, whatever. I couldn't even stand him on this segment.
Yeah.
So dark and all the shade. So much.
It was pointed out to me that, you know, Tim has talked about how he wasn't a fan of Kevin's game. So I really saw that as, you know, if Tim is there, Tim, I don't think cares about rules. I think Tim would have done whatever he could to discredit Kevin's game. But obviously didn't happen much.
I don't care if someone's a better person. I maybe that's just me, but. That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah,
you're talking about what we're here for tonight.
Yeah, and that's not this what I'm is here this for. Is I think the same Tim that says he didn't quit the game, or no, he did quit the game on purpose, right? Like the one that's, yeah, that was like, right. Yeah, I
because he was
I
a twist.
Out.
He wasn't meant to win.
I didn't want to win. Yeah, it's right. The same Tim. Yeah. So
he was there to set up the other twist. I mean, wait.
Yeah.
Not following anymore.
A question from the franchise on Twitter. What is this season going to be remembered for? What do you think, Melissa?
Aika, I think. I mean, I just think that she's going to be remembered from this season. And I think that her control of the game and, you know, her antics and how people were entertained by her and she left beloved. I think that people are going to remember her. And I think that that's what the season's going to end up being known for. I think.
Yeah.
I feel like when I, when I think of this season, right, I'm going to remember it as like the six dominated early on, right? It seemed like the veterans could work together, and then they couldn't because all the egos collided and it wasn't going to happen. So then, yeah, Ika managed to, you know, take over at that point. And I mean, it was kind of like Ika taking out, you know, her opposition there in degrees of succession, where like she had to get rid of Netta and then she had to get rid of Dre, who was like kind of the next big threat that emerged. And then from that point on, it was like Dimitri's and Kevin winning comps down the stretch.
Yeah.
That ultimately. And that's why I think it was a little confusing, and it sends a weird message to have that whole montage. Like, not that I don't hate him, like, not that I don't love a montage of Ika. You know what I mean? And a lot of the like really great stuff and like entertaining moments that happened this season. But it's very strange to like show that like this was a season dominated by strong women. Ika, Netta, Karen, okay, Cindy. And then it's like, okay, but now we're going to watch a man win 9-0 over one of those strong women. Like, it's just like a very extreme example of like how the show just deviates wildly from what we've been watching. Yeah.
Right. I felt like that was a little bit like putting a lipstick on a pig. Like, I mean, the fact that there wasn't anything here to see as far as that goes. I mean, look, Ika was certainly a queen and she ruled the season. But the fact of the matter is she lost when, just like Cassandra before her, just like Brittany before her. None of these queens could win when the chips are down at the final four. You know, it's heartbreaking to me, but it's true. I mean, the comps at the end seem to favor somebody who's going to be Jedi drilling, and that's always going to favor a moderately athletic guy like Kevin. I mean, he's just the kind of guy who's going to be studying those type of things that Big Brother asks. If they want a little more variety, then they need to switch up the final HOH. Again, I was hoping that it was something a little more crapshooty. That would have given us an unpredictable winner. On the other hand, because then I feel like you have to depend on your social game in order to get you to the end, like in Big Brother US. But the fact that Kevin was essentially able to comp his way to the end, Mike Holloway style, it was the same kind of comps over and over again. The final five, you know, what day did this happen? Final four veto, you know, align the events in the house on the stalagmites and stalactites. Final three, you know, as long as you got to the final three, well, the final or part two was align the stars, these constellations. And then, you know, the final HOH is basically a trivia contest based on, again, wait for it, events in the house. So it's all basically the same type of thing. If you don't want to be facing somebody like a juggernaut like Kevin Martin at the end, and you need to make sure you get people like this out of the game, especially if you're playing Big Brother Canada.
Yeah, I think it's
a really fair, really fair criticism. And I think, you know, one easy fix is just with some of those, you could just add other elements that work against, you know, someone who's, you know, like, and maybe it doesn't work for this season, but like, you know, if something that, you know, you have to climb or something that like be where body weight works against,
or you have
to
balance,
you have to do swim
or like a puzzle,
go underwater
or something
to do stuff. Yeah. I mean, right. Like some kind of equalizer in
like
these.
If they had some sort of competition where you kind of had to know the events in the house, but also solve a puzzle with the events in the house or something like that, like something where that's more than just rote memorization, I think that would help, because I also think that those competitions were way more interesting in the earlier seasons where we didn't know they were coming. And it was like, who's more observant? Who's been paying attention more? But now it's just like, okay, so from day one, you basically remember every single thing that happens every single day throughout the whole thing. And then you just keep running those drills over, over, over. And it's not, it's like anybody can do that. I think it was better in the beginning when they didn't know it was coming. And it was like, well, but who's been paying attention? Maybe you should have been paying attention to all your fellow house guests. Maybe you should have been paying attention to the way the game was working. And then they're like, oh my God, I should have been paying attention. I just think that that's, it's too cliche now. It's just too, everybody's expecting it. So there's no element of surprise to it at all.
It's so cliche.
Taryn, we've come a long way from throwing CDs into a bowl that's floating in the pool.
Yeah. Well, it's so cliche that somebody who is the winner of this season, 9-0, puts out a video a few days before and says, oh, by the way, I've been studying these kind of comps. These kind of questions have been coming up over and over and over again. I mean, Kevin was basically like, you know, thumbing his nose at the producers at that point saying, ha ha ha, I know what's coming and I'm already prepared for it. I've already studied everything. Gotcha. You know,
but I think there is something compelling to that. The fact that Kevin essentially like solved this game, right? Like he really got ahead of the producers. He got ahead of his fellow house guests and he really outplayed all of them in terms of the competitions. What I would like to see moving forward is now that it's been solved, let's change it up because, you know, we don't want to see a house full of people studying constantly. And I think that's ultimately we're going to
riveting
end up.
Feeds that.
Yeah. So
thank you.
It's so boring.
And yep.
When you like switch to a feed and they're like day 46, like you think they're talking game because there's like a group of people like in a room and they're like day 46, ICA evicted. Like they just have, it's so boring. I'm like, oh, switch feeds. That sucks. You know,
100%.
It's just, right. And I mean, I've always been an advocate for the randomness of the final part of the final three HOH in Big Brother US, even though a lot of people hate it because it leads to things like Steve beating Vanessa, stuff like that. But I like it because I want more variety and more randomness thrown into the competitions so that strategic and social ability plays more into the game than competitions. Big Brother Canada, I think it's been clear now that it is much more reliant on competitions, which I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, but I would like to see more strategic and social ability stuff. That said, I'm not going to rail against Big Brother Canada for this. They've done such an amazing job with this season in terms of like the lack of twists and stuff. So I'm like singing your praises. Don't think I'm criticizing you right now because I'm really glad about what happened this season.
No returning juror.
Yes,
like it's been a returning juror. Like every U.S., Canada, like I hate like when twists become like, you know, and they still announce it with such fervor. But it's like this happens every season. And like it's almost a bigger twist now. Like, oh, my God, they didn't bring back someone from the jury. Like, wow, what a concept. Like this is a twist now. So good. Way to go. Way to not like lean into something just because you feel like you have to, because that's like the trend these days.
Yeah.
Alex, I didn't talk with you since last night. Did you see Netta and Bruno like waiting with bated breath when Dylan was getting ready to read that thing in the jury at the final four? Oh, didn't you love that?
Shade. Oh, poor kids.
Faces cracked.
That would have been me too. That's so you're just sitting there with nothing to do for weeks and they're like, a letter? What about a twist? Like 2 days before the end? Like what's happening? Like we know we get to vote for a winner. Oh, we get to watch a tape. Send me home.
for me, my takeaways from this season are the early game was all about the vets should have dominated, but we had this weird situation where the new players were almost so bad that the vets had to turn on each other because all of the new players were pawns, which was an interesting way to see this play out. Usually we see a couple of strong new players form a coalition against the veterans, but the veterans are stronger, and so they take out the new players. In this season, I think what we saw was a bunch of new players who didn't really put up any fight, and because they didn't put up any fight, the veterans saw themselves as the biggest threats, and they ate themselves. Then moving forward, I think we're going to be remembering the record-breaking competition streak from Kevin, the record-breaking HOH wins from Dimitri, and Ika as, you know, this breakout star of the show. Those are the things that I think are really going to stand out from this season. And again, what we're talking about in terms of competitions, should they be changed? I think that's a conversation that's going to be, that's going to come out from this.
Well, you know what I want changed is the jury questioning.
Yes.
I just feel like they need to take a page out of Survivor's book because it literally they had 20 seconds to get out their question, 20 seconds to get an answer. You couldn't. I was having trouble following because it was just like boom, 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 boom. I love when they get a moment to like address them, maybe say something and then ask a question and then they get a chance to give a nice response, like rather than this quick, like as fast as we can, let's shuffle through these people kind of thing. It was. I was so disappointed because that's one of my favorite parts is the jury questioning.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you there. I don't understand why that they're doing this because they got to a point where I think it was like 11:10 and I'm sorry, it was like 10 after the hour and there was still 50 minutes left and they had already locked in the votes at that point. Like you've got
plenty of time.
And
then we just had a clip show.
And it's a taped show. I don't understand why you have to, you know, like give us these terrible questions and then show us like, you know, 30 minutes worth of clips about queens and romances and things that happen in the house.
Yeah.
Like it's just
like, yeah, we saw
they
it.
Could have given us a yeah, like, exactly.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, I love Big Brother Canada. I think like they have a pretty polished product when it comes to like the way they do the recaps. Like it looks really nice and flashy and fluid and everything is, you know, very good. But at a point, it feels like, okay, if I've been watching this show, which you have to assume they think I am, You must think I'm really, really dumb. Because, like, we've covered this now so many times. Or, like, you know, it's a situation where it's like, we're going to focus on, like, the women this season. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I know which ones were the women. Like, I don't think I need help discerning. Like, I could pick them out of a lineup. I'm confident. So, like, there's just a few things where it's just like, you know, and that would be fine in and of itself. But it seemed like the ending was so rushed. Like, I didn't even, like, see, like, they didn't reveal on the show, like, who the extra votes were for. We didn't get to, like, really hear from Kevin at all. Like, we've heard interviews from everybody. And I think it would be cool just to, like, hear something from the winner a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Just to risk to get a little something from him, get a little something from Karen. Like, this, there should have been, I think, just in my mind. And this is really the only nitpick, you know, because it's a great season. Great. I don't want to hate, like you said. I mean, I would love what Big Brother Canada has done. Season 5 turned out, like, when I heard it was vets and newbies, I set my expectations very low. And it's just wildly exceeded anything I thought it could be. I mean, there's been blindsides and flips, like, every week. It's been very, very entertaining and very, very interesting. But, I mean, yeah, this is one thing where it just seemed like we had a lot more we really could have focused on. And rather just seeing people laugh and seeing their, like, knee-jerk reactions to, like, moments, I would have liked to, like, hear them talk about it now that it's over, like, decompress in front of the group. I don't know. That's like, Survivor Reunion is so good. Like, what, that's what we're missing from
people. Definitely.
Yeah, I feel like we went out with a whimper when we should have gone out with a bang. And I think that Survivor does it right, where they crown, they do the pre-taped jury segment, the jury questions, everything like that. Then they announce the winner or whatever. Then they have the reunion show, and where they can all talk about their strategies, various, you know, controversial things that happened during the season, or like, what are the reactions now? I think that they really should have done that rather than just showing them clips of the season. And just, we didn't even get to really talk with them afterwards. It was just like a little screen within the screen of them reacting to it. And then that was it. And then we crown the winner. Kevin wins. He's done. Well, goodbye. See you next time. Like, that's it. We didn't, it just was so rushed at the end. Whereas like the rest of it was so drawn out, and it was like, come on, another commercial break. We just want to know who won.
Survivor does this right. Yeah. Completely from the jury questioning to the way they structure when they reveal the winner and then questioning afterward. They do have a couple of packages, a couple of montages that they show, but they show them and then it's very quick. It's like 30 seconds and then they talk to the people about them. I just feel like that's, you know, we need to be looking to Survivor as the model example of what you should do in a finale. And it wouldn't be a finale podcast if we didn't talk about how they need to bring back the old jury questioning. I really feel like that's so important, and it's unfortunate that we don't have it.
Hey, Taryn, I wanted to ask you really quickly, your previous point about the fact that, you know, the vets came in and we expected that, you know, like that some newbies would align and try to take out the vets, but basically the newbies were so bad that the vets, you know, ended up going after themselves. I mean, don't you think that's the strategy? If you're a new player and you find yourself in a season with vets, to basically just disarm and say, you know, hey, we're here for you guys. You know, we love you guys so much. And eventually the vets are going to look around and say to themselves, you know, the people that I should be targeting are the people who've played before, and they're all around me. Like, that seems like it's the best option.
Yeah. And
yeah, you just need to do that thing, like roaches do, like right before they die, where they're just like, turn their stomach up, and it's just like totally vulnerable. Like, don't even worry about me. I'm just dead over here. Forget about me for weeks.
That's why, you know, I pointed out, I think that this is really, you know, hopefully, you know, if people are paying attention, I think this is a turning point in terms of strategy for a season where there's mixed players, where there's veterans and there's new players. This is the way to go if you're a new player. I don't think it works for Survivor, but I do think it works for Big Brother. You need to just completely fold and let these people take each other out. And then, you know, then hopefully if you're actually a good player, you can turn it on later. Unfortunately, I don't think that was necessarily the case. We had Dre almost do it, but really kind of screwed herself over. Over falls flat.
Boy, that was the worst timing of the season. Like, literally, if they gave a BB award for the worst timing of the season, they would have to give it to Dre, because I literally thought she was going to win this game. She had everything lined up. She could have, like, coasted through the triple eviction. I think the night before the triple eviction, I was on this podcast saying that, you know, of the people in the house who are vulnerable, the only person who I cannot see going up on the block and being evicted is Dre. And then look what happened, like, literally 24 hours later. Like, it was, I mean, I know she didn't know that there was a triple eviction coming. On the other hand, like, wow, girl, what could have been there?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was like weeks where we were talking about like this is a potential like monster. You know what I mean? Like she could potentially like there's a clear path to victory here for Dre, and instead like she's just gonna end up being like kind of an afterthought of the season. It's like, oh yeah, you remember that girl that was always saying how it was the most lit season of all time? Like, yeah, I remember
how
her.
She was gonna get turnt.
Turnt up. I mean,
and then never did.
It
was kind of like the Cindy thing where people were talking about how great Cindy was doing. But then, you know, I think a few of us were like, well, let's just wait. Let's just wait and see. It was sort of the same thing with Dre, where it's like she was doing well, but it was like, this is kind of a recent thing. It hasn't been going on for
it's
very
like
long.
Tenuous.
Yeah, like let's just see if she can maintain it. And unfortunately wasn't able to.
Hey, Taryn, I have a question for you. It's from Amon from our So You Think You Can Podcast contest.
Another draft
he says,
I won.
I know, right? Do we think that Big Brother US will give a damn about Big Brother Canada kicking their ass in production value? What say you,
right,
Taryn?
This is actually something I wanted to talk about because I thought about the competitions. These competitions, I thought they looked amazing. I really loved the look of these competitions.
Then
I thought back to Big Brother 18 and their final HOH, which was them dressed up in like cat outfits, like in a litter box.
Chase the laser pointer. Chase it across the yard now.
Huge stark contrast there.
And the scales of Just Us. Like I was thinking back to that when they had this like modern, like it looked like a Daft Punk concert or like a Justice concert, and it was like this giant thing, and they lit him up and they lit him up, and it was so epic. And then it was like I just remembered back to when like Nicole and Paul were on the scales of Just Us, and they were just like, and it looked like it was like, gonna collapse or something. I was just like, oh, this is embarrassing.
Yeah,
for
like,
America.
What are you doing?
You actually called it the scales of Just Us.
The scales of Just Us.
I did not remember that's
name. The US
has a much. Oh, I remembered it.
I have to imagine the US has a much bigger budget. They have a much bigger audience. Why? How are they not able to? Like, Canada is just like totally wrecking them in terms of production quality in these competitions. It's ridiculous. It's
ridiculous. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you'd think they'd be a little bothered. I mean, it seems like a lot of BBUS people up there in old Niagara for the finale festivities. And, you know, it's legitimizing Big Brother Canada in the States. I don't know if how CBS and affiliates would feel about that. But yeah, I mean, a bunch of people up there. I think even like Natalie is up there. Like, did Natalie watch Big Brother Canada 5? I don't know, but she's up there. You know what I mean? So it's good for them. It's good for Big Brother Canada. All good.
All right. So I think we need to, I know we've talked about this before, but this is the finale podcast. I think we need to rank, where does Kevin rank in the Big Brother Canada winners? And then maybe can we also just have maybe a generalization of where he might fall in the overall winner rankings? Alex, what do you think?
I feel like I already kind of did this and it hasn't changed. I guess I'm still going to go, what was it? Like, yeah, John, Kevin, Pax is Sarah Jillian, I think. I think that's what I'm doing here.
All right.
So where did you wait, Kevin? I couldn't hear that. Whoa. So where's Kevin?
John, Kevin, Pax is Sarah Jillian.
Oh, John, Kevin. Okay, cool.
I'm headed here. But I would still, you know, I reserve the right to change my mind at times.
I would have it Sarah, Jillian, Kevin, Pax Brothers, and... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot John. So, yes. No, Sarah, Jillian, John, Kevin, Pat Brothers. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Melissa.
I forgot John. Yeah. I love John.
I don't really know enough of Jillian, so I'm not quite sure. But
she was a queen.
Huh? All I know is that... Well, okay. I'm thinking that I would probably... I mean, obviously, I'd do John. And then I guess... I mean, I kind of would put Kevin, like, if there's five winners, I'd probably put him in the middle or maybe second. I don't know.
The chat's freaking out. About Sarah being first for Brent.
I'm sorry, but
after Brent talked to her and she said that he was her favorite and she, you know, yelled at me and Alex, obviously she's gonna be number one.
And she had valid points. Like, she read you two
for
filth.
She did not have valid points.
I didn't get a chance to say anything, so technically, I don't know what.
Yeah, I think I would probably do John, Kevin, Pax Bros, Jillian, Sarah. But even then, like, I really think there's a lot of thought to be put into how important are these competitions for Big Brother Canada? How much should, like, this is a really different way to win the game, to really just outthink production and prepare for these. It's never been done before. Mm-hmm. So it's right. really hard to understand, like, how, like, is it repeatable? Probably not. But is it really impressive? Yes. So it's a little hard to rank that. And as far as, like, overall, it's still not really in the top tier of overall Big Brother winners in general, North America winners, I think. I think John is still probably up there, you know, maybe in the middle. And then Kevin's probably, like, you know, mid to low tier somewhere. Let me know if you guys disagree with any of that.
Oh, wait. And I can't pass up. I cannot pass up this moment of shade. So, Taryn, what say you about the fact that William, in his jury question, asked Kevin himself what would have happened if William did not use the secret veto on him? And Kevin said, I most assuredly would have went home. Thank you, Williams, for saving my life.
Well, I think what he said was...
So is Kevin...
Well, that's right. the right answer,
yeah,
even
I
if it's a lie,
I also think it's pandering.
Right?
You know, you want to... You want William wants to hear Kevin say, I couldn't have done it without
and,
you.
And I think what he said was he wasn't sure if he would go home, that he knew it would be a battle between him and Bruno. I do think he probably goes home there. But I do think I liked his answer. It was very, you know, it pandered to William. And then he also made sure to put in there, like, it was my social, like, bond with you that saved me, you know, giving himself a little bit of credit.
So I'm asking.
Yeah, you can tell William liked the answer. It was like a slow, reluctant little grin he got, where it's just, it started out, he's like, I'm trying to make him, you know, you're going to earn this from me, Kevin. I'm not going to give it away freely. And then by the end, he's like,
And I
if
loved
he wins
what
this
him
money,
and Dre
we
did.
Can get champagne drunk and you never know what could happen. So.
I loved what him and Dre did when they put in their votes and they were just like, if I can't vote for my number one, I'm going to vote for the next best option or whatever. And then Dre's like, I'm voting. If I can't vote for myself, I'm voting for his next best option. That was really funny.
That was really cute, I have to say. Taryn, do you agree with Sarah Hanlon that there has never been a winner of Big Brother Canada that has not been the beneficiary of a major twist? I mean, what she was trying to say to you was that Kevin was the beneficiary of a major twist that saved his ass in the game, well, just like she was. So, you know, how can you, like, bag on her for being the beneficiary of a twist when he was too?
That wasn't what she said to me. What she said to me was, I needed to hate Kevin because he was a beneficiary of a twist. And what I told her was, yes, he was a beneficiary of a twist, but not nearly to the extent that Sarah was.
Okay, I'm just stirring here.
there's another question from Gregory McBean. Does a unanimous vote reflect Kevin's good game, Karen's bad game, or a combination of both? I think this is important because, again, this is the second unanimous, only the second unanimous victory in Big Brother North American history. And do we want to give Kevin credit for that? Do we want to say that it was due to, you know, Karen being such a great goat, or is it some sort of weird combination of, like, you know, veterans, prior relationships? What do you think, Alex?
I think, you know, it's always weird with these mixed seasons. Like, this is, you know, this is where juries can be wonky in either direction, I think, like, because, you know, the Big Brother 14 jury is one that's, like, commonly pointed to as one that, I mean, Taryn, you think they got it wrong, right?
Sorry,
don't
which one?
You?
Oh,
Big Brother
14.
Did they get it wrong in your mind?
Yeah.
So there you
of
go.
Course they did.
So, yeah. I mean, so I think just, you know, based on that, just, you know, I think it's a situation where I think
I see what you're saying.
I mean, I think it's clearly, you guys, here's the answer. The answer is clearly both, but I mean, I think this is, you know, I'll give credit to Kevin on one thing, because the fact that Dan Giesling in Big Brother 10 faced a jury of seven people, got all seven votes. Kevin faced a jury of nine people. When there are nine people on the jury, usually there's a, like, one or two, what the F? I mean, you know, like, Andy didn't even get all of the votes. Derek didn't even get all of the votes in Big Brother US. So, you know, on a nine person jury, there's always one or two people who just go off on their own excursion. You know what I'm saying? For him to get all nine votes, I think speaks to his final two plea where he was, you know, just, you know, absolutely gushing about his love for the game. The fact that all of these people were his friends prior to, you know, the like the foreperson of the jury and the first two people in right after her were all of his friends coming into the game. And also the fact that Karen was a pretty good goat. I mean, she, you know, I made a case for Karen, but she didn't make one for herself when she got there. She couldn't say anything that I wanted her to say. And I wish she would have said it, because then I could have said the jury was probably a little bit more bitter than they really were. I think that they were bitter. It's just that they never had a chance to show their bitterness because Dimitri's or Aiko wasn't in the final
two.
Yeah,
I loved when
Karen got called out in the questioning when they were like, when you said in your jury plea that you dragged Aiko and Dimitri to the end, like, please explain. And she's like, oh, well, I don't think I really said that. And it was like clear that like she did not want Aiko and Dimitri knowing that that's what she had said, because you know they wouldn't be happy about that.
I think that for Kevin, I think that it was a combination.
Score one for Jackie there. Jackie doesn't have a lot in her column, but there's one.
Who?
I
think it was a combination of the fact that Kevin had such good friends on the jury to advocate for him that were very influential. Netta and Bruno together with their influence, I think, was very helpful, especially in winning somebody over like Dylan, who came out of the game upset with Kevin. I also think that Kevin, you know, what we talked about, where he never takes anything personally, he never gets mad. I think that really puts you in a great position for somebody like Dylan, like Dimitri's, and like Aika, who otherwise may have voted for the person that they had a better relationship with, that they liked more, but they never had any conflict, real conflict with Kevin. So they felt comfortable voting for him out of respect. And I think that's something that he shares with Dan Giesling, because Dan, again, never took anything personally. Even when people came at him, he was always able to, you know, not respond in an angry way. And I think that really, really helps in terms of getting in that unanimous vote.
And I think in some respects, it's a little bit of like the reverse Dan, where, you know, jurors coming in, you know, in a season where half the people coming in with pre-existing relationships kind of felt slighted by Dan and didn't want to see him rewarded. Here it is kind of the opposite, where Kevin came in with friendships that really benefited him down the stretch in a way that, you know, other people couldn't possibly have access to in a normal season.
All right. If you guys have anything else you want to bring up, let me know. When I asked for questions for this podcast, I think like at least half of them were like, talk more about your draft win, Taryn. So reluctantly, I have never lost a draft since I started podcasting. Every single Big Brother season, every single Survivor season,
Honey.
So You Think You Can Podcast.
Big Brother 19 is around the corner.
The odds.
Big Brother 19 is coming.
Okay, sure. I thought this was the one I was going to lose. The odds of me winning like 7 or 8 straight drafts are incredibly low.
JP was saying that. JP's fair, gone sir. Now. He was the bad juju that was causing you to win all these drafts.
I know,
so now that he's gone and Melissa's here,
almost,
like, we're going to take it away.
I thought she was going to be the new factor
close.
That ruined it for me. But I really don't even know what to say anymore. It's kind of ridiculous.
She needed to get her
feet
wet.
I might have had it. Taryn, you were so humble.
I don't care what you guys say. I feel like now with Kevin having won this season, me and Taryn are tied.
Okay.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I
had 4 seasons of Big Brother Canada people to work with. You guys all picked Netta.
Kevin is the best winner, the best player in Big Brother Canada history.
Am I saying I'm not being results oriented? No, I never claimed that. But here
you
we
only
stand.
Picked him because the you said that you saw exist. Us. We all picked Netta already, and if you had gone first, you would have put Netta down.
I mean, I think I did go first, but then once I saw that, I'm like, we can't all do the same thing, can we?
And honestly,
so you changed your answer.
And like I said, I came into this podcast thinking man, Alex must be so embarrassed. He should have had Kevin. He should have won this draft, but he fumbled at the last second. He second guessed himself.
He found a way to be proud.
we hedge our bets.
He's like, let me be clear, I am also a winner, Taryn.
So I keep seeing this question. I don't really see the comparison, but a lot of people are talking about it. Somebody, John Heddles in the chat wants to know, who's a better winner, Nicole or Kevin? For me, I think the traditional game, I think Nicole is probably a better player. But again, with Big Brother Canada, it's a little different because you can game the comps, and that's not something you can do in Big Brother US, so it's a little hard to compare. Let me know if you guys have any hot takes on this.
I don't even know anymore. I feel like between OTT and then just like the craziness of the season, like what's a good player? I don't even like this.
I mean,
you could sit me down and really like pitch me a case that like
I have to go for Kevin.
You know, I am very moldable right now in terms of my Big Brother beliefs. I feel like I'm susceptible to new ideas. I don't think
it's getting harder and harder to compare the different kinds of seasons because the gameplay is diverging. So I mean, OTT, obviously impossible to compare. And with Big Brother Canada, with all the twists, it was already difficult to compare. And even though there were less twists this time, I think the comp structure also makes it a little bit difficult to compare them. So definitely a tough job to try to compare them. Let me know if anybody in the chat has a good hashtag that doesn't involve hand jobs. That would be great.
Yeah, that was the only one I was seeing. That was mentioned three times in this. Okay. Well, now four. Hand jobs have been mentioned five times in the podcast. Great.
Yeah.
Mentioning it.
And we're still going. What a great way to end the season.
Hand jobs, the most referenced thing on the Big Brother coverage. It all started with that recap of the recap.
Oh, boy.
Right?
Oh, boy.
I still love that. Oh, my gosh. I hope Rob puts that in his, like, Rob's 2000 show is coming up. So I'm really hoping that that makes it.
We should do something to commemorate the fact that Kevin won, right? What about like slithering to the wind?
This is so typical of the audience of Big Brother. I asked for not hand job hashtags, and like 90% of them are hand job hashtags. I'm seeing.
Well, Rob doesn't want us to do that, so we need to do something with Kevin.
We've got an HJ, we've got handwork, hand job strategy.
I'm seeing,
okay, like I think we need to do something
like
for
that
Kevin.
Little puke.
That Kevin Martin,
yeah,
that Kevin Martin,
or that Kevin Martin. Yeah. I like it.
All right, so okay. Yeah. We'll do hashtag that Kevin Martin.
Okay.
This is it for our Big Brother Canada 5 coverage. You know, maybe we will. I know Rob is going to be talking to the final four, whatever, final three.
Yeah, final four
okay,
tomorrow
cool. So
morning,
we'll get those interviews up. Hopefully we'll be able to find out what that jury was thinking, if they really would have voted Karen over Dimitri's, and how people feel about Kevin Martin winning that Kevin Martin, and Kevin's own assessment of his own game. I think Kevin's probably going to come out of this game with a pretty decent assessment of his own game, which is that it wasn't the greatest. But I'm very interested to hear what he has to say. So that's it. Thank you so much for joining us all season long. This has been such a treat. I sometimes am not looking forward to the Big Brother Canada coverage because of all the twists. Really, really gets to me sometimes. But this was a really great season. I'm so glad that the twists weren't there. I really enjoyed the outcome, even though like I would have been happy with anything. But I think the competitions down the line were exciting in a way that I've never been excited by competitions. I've just had such a great time podcasting with you guys doing the round table. I'm very, very, very sad to see Jordan leave, but I'm very excited about our coverage moving forward. Do you have anything to say, Melissa?
Well, you know, this has been such an amazing experience. My first official season of podcasting with you guys.
In the books.
It's been so great, and it's been kind of a whirlwind. What a great season to have my first podcast on. So I'm looking forward to the next season, to BB19. And, you know, I'm really, really excited to be here with you guys. And
I'm
really
so happy we have you. I think you've been an amazing addition. It warms my heart that you're here. I think you really make the podcast better.
Thanks, guys.
Brent, do you have any final words?
I don't want anybody to misread like the way I've been acting this podcast. First of all, like, you know, I mean, I think it's pretty boring when four people come on a podcast and all have the same opinion. So, you know, y'all know why I'm here, because I just look at things through a different lens than most people. I hope everybody gets that. You know, we're all still friends. Secondly, this has been an amazing season of Big Brother. The host of Big Brother is flipping amazing. The people who make the show great and the comps, they are amazing. And the cast that they put on this year, it really couldn't have been better. I mean, we got really lucky with a couple couple of the outcomes, like the triple eviction, you know, that could have gone really, really bad. And instead it went really, really well. So I was happy about that. So just a little bit of luck helped us. But overall, it was really an amazing season and a very worthy winner in Kevin.
All right, Alex, final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun season. It's been a long season. It's been a lot of Big Brother. I did Big Brother UK too, so I didn't really even have like any kind of off season. I've just like kept up with this stuff.
You're crazy, man.
Let's go. Big Brother 19. I'm ready for it. And oh yeah, don't let me forget, Will from America sent us in a song called
"Oh,
that
yes,
Kevin
we
Martin,
have, yes, we need
we
to play the song.
We can play at the end of the podcast. We can get a more polished version on the iTunes. So like if you can't really make this out on the YouTube version, I guess you can listen to the iTunes format. But I guess I'll go ahead and play this here. This is from Will.
All right.
Kevin Martin.
All right.
Will is very talented with these songs. He does them for the Survivor podcast, and they're really, really great. So I'm really excited that we have one for Big
Excellent.
Brother. And if Alex is able to get it going.
I have no idea what's coming. Right, so oh, here we go.
Canada is known for stupid twists, and if one took out Queen Ica, we know Brent would be pissed. Maybe the feeds weren't down a lot, and yeah, maybe the editing wasn't so hot, but with low expectations it goes a long way to have the house flip every other day. And I just wanna say, Kevin Martin, it's been a long time coming. They say you play a good game, even though you never got anything you wanted. Even though you had to win out, you put up to Micah twice and missed both the rounds. You let William get in your pants, but wouldn't even let him call it a real showman's.
Oh, man.
Will from America.
Oh, so good. Yay. So good.
Great
yeah,
way to
we,
send us
we
off,
met
eh?
Will in Toronto, and he's such a cool guy. I'm so glad that that we got to meet him. He sung karaoke. We ended up both singing Mr. Brightside, and he obviously did a much better job than me. So thank you so much, Will, for sending that song, and I really loved it. And thank you again to all of the listeners. Your support means the world to us. You really keep us going, and it really, really means a lot. And we love doing this. So, thank you for staying with us all season long. If you want, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taren. Alex is at Alex Kidwell. Brent at One Lucky Gay, and Melissa is at It's Melissa with three A's. Thank you again so much. For Brent, Melissa, and Alex, I am Taren Armstrong. #ThatKevinMartin. We will see you for Big Brother 19.